Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. On July 2014, Keith and Lene Blackman received a phone call every parent dreads. Their 19-year-old son, Jake, was found in the waters of Lake Tahoe, lifeless. By God's grace, Jake did not die. It's a story of God's miracle-working power, the same God who has moved graciously for the Blackmans is calling you. Dear friend, as you listen today to this gripping story, are you aware that God loves you? Yes, you. And that he sends Lene and Jake to share just to lift your faith, to know that whatever you're going through, whatever you might be facing right now, nothing is impossible with God. And God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. And Christ shed his precious blood on that cross, my friend, to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus? Would you come to the one who can save you and make all things new? That indeed is our hope. That's our prayer. Lene Blackman works at Second Baptist Church in Houston. She's an assistant to one of the campus pastors. In addition to Jake, she and Keith have two other children, Emily and Luke. Jake works at a restaurant and hopes to return to school to pursue a degree in hotel and restaurant management. Lene and Jake, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lene, where were you? Where were you and Keith when you received the phone call?
I had just gotten home from work. I had stopped at the grocery store and just walked into my house and was setting down groceries like any other given day. Keith was at a football lesson, so he was out on the football field and was just about to start another lesson.
You got the call. You heard what was going on. What did the caller say?
Well, the phone rang and it said Jake, and I picked it up. Another interesting part was that I had already missed two phone calls, one when I was driving home. And I was on the other line anyway, and it went to voicemail, and it was from a number that said Reno. And then another one, when I stopped at the grocery store, I was in line to check out, and I saw it call again, and I thought, oh, I should check that or call it when I get home. And then the third call was Jake, and so I picked it up right away. So if I had been driving or at the grocery store, I would have, if I had answered it, I would have been in one of those two spots when I got the call. So again, that's just the Lord's providence right there. But I was at home, and so she said, she asked if this was Lene Blackman, and I said yes, and she said she was calling from a hospital in Reno, and she said that they had Jake, that he had been life flighted in, and he had been in a boating accident, and that he was on life support, was what she told me.
What went through your mind?
Nothing. For a minute, and then I asked her again. I said, where did you say you were calling from? Because the next thought was, we have to get there. And so I needed to know where she was so we knew where to go. And so I kind of had to have her repeat some things to me and was trying to figure out what had happened. But all they knew at that time was that he had been on a boat and then he had drowned. So they just assumed from the facts they had it was a boating accident. But then she gave me the address of where to go and said a doctor would call me in a little bit with more information. So that's when I called my husband and to come home, and I called the church to pray, and my sister-in-law was at the house already, so it was easy to leave the other two with her. So God had that worked out ahead of time already.
Now, you knew you needed to get there. How did you make arrangements? Were you able to make arrangements quickly?
Yeah, I mean, fairly quickly. It was kind of complicated in the fact we were trying to book online, and it was saying there were no flights available, and so my husband called the airport, and they said there were two flights available that weren't showing up. But he was having trouble getting them reserved, and so I said, let's just pack our bag and go. Let's just go to the airport and get the first flight we can. So we pulled up. It was probably about 7 o'clock by then, and they had two seats left on the last flight to Reno for that day, so we were able to get on that flight. And so, I mean, it was a little intense just trying to get to the airport that quickly and be sure we got on a plane, but God worked that out too.
Jake, what happened on your end? Why did you end up in the water?
Well, I don't remember anything from that day, but from what I've been told, we had taken a boat out on the lake that day just to kind of go around, do some sightseeing on the water and just things like that. And we stopped at this one beach called Sand Harbor, where there's a bunch of really just huge rocks that stick out of the water. And so we got our boat as close as we could to the rocks, but there were still some under the surface. So we were about 30 to 40 yards out, maybe. And my friend Rob and I were going to swim from the boat to the rocks to, like, jump off into the water, take pictures, things like that. And the doctor said what most likely happened is that when we were swimming to the rocks, I just went into hypothermic shock because the water was around 40 to 50 degrees that day. And they said I just most likely went into hypothermic shock. My muscles locked up and I couldn't move and I just sank.
Now there's a video that shows the location, that talks about the people that were actually there, or that witnessed the rescue. And the way that people were involved, it was like God orchestrated your rescue, Jake. But when they found you, you were not moving. And when they pulled you up, I recall them saying the color of your skin, it was such that it didn't seem to have much hope at all. Lene, what were you feeling as you were going through the airport? You don't even have a plane ticket, but you pack your bags and you're on your way there. What were you thinking?
Well, one way to describe it was my thoughts were just kind of like a pendulum. And on the one hand, I was just kind of broken, asking God, you know, begging God, you know, please don't let this happen. And then on the other end, he would just lift me right back up to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And as soon as I wanted to just melt into a puddle on the floor, he would pick me right back up so I could get to the airport. And mainly what I did was just focus on asking people to pray and, you know, letting immediate family members know what was going on so they could pray. And that was really about it. I just prayed every time I started to feel like the world was just crashing in around me. I just kind of refused to sit there in that and just beg God to be in control. Whatever his plan was for Jake was exactly what I wanted, because I knew that was what Jake needed. And if that meant us losing Jake, then God's will was perfect. And if it meant him not having to live a life, you know, where he was unresponsive or in a wheelchair, you know, unresponsive the rest of his life, then I wanted for Jake what God wanted for Jake. And so that was basically our prayer for him. We there was one point where I questioned if praying for God's will was kind of like a cop-out, and if it was fear holding me back for praying for what I really wanted, which was a miracle. And I asked my sister-in-law through text what she thought about that, and she said that was how Jesus prayed. You know, he said, "Lord, if it's your will, take this cup from me," but he trusted that God's will was perfect. And so that's what I choose to hold on to. So I trusted God's will, but just begged for what I wanted, which was a miracle for my son to walk away, you know, with us having changed lives, but him still being whole and healed.
You get to the airport. You don't have a ticket. How did God provide for you to get to where you needed to go?
Well, my husband said that he pulled up to where you would drop off somebody who was about to fly out, and then he went up to the counter and he told the lady that we, you know, our son was in the hospital and we needed to get to Reno, and she said something like, "Oh, I'm going to find you a ticket." And so we parked, and we were parked at the wrong terminal. So you can imagine the airport at Houston Intercontinental is pretty large. So we had to, with our bags, run to a different terminal and then run up to the ticket counter. And we knew then that there were two tickets available, and they purchased them. And I remember the guy said it would be like $1,700. And I thought, you know, last-minute tickets are expensive. But we got on there, and then we had a layover, and then the next stop, we were in first class on our second flight. So that's why they were so expensive. And even in that moment, I was like, ah, you know, that's why. But, you know, the Lord just put everything in our path the way it needed to be.
You're listening to Lene and Jake Blackman talking about hearing the news of her son, who is on life support in Reno, Nevada. She and her husband, Keith, are still in Houston. They haven't left yet, but the news has gone to them. Lene, the video on YouTube that actually shows where and who was there and how it all happened, with incredible interviews. What's the name of the video that someone could watch it on YouTube?
Yeah, the name is Holding On to Hope. So just search Holding On to Hope and it'll pull up Jake Blackman's story.
Holding On to Hope. And that's what we're encouraged to do. Hold on to the God of all hope in any situation. The God of all hope is a God of grace and mercy. And today he sends Lene and Jake Blackman to share their story. It didn't happen. It hasn't been very long, and you're hearing him speak. His life is back together now. He's working at a restaurant. He's on his way to pursue his degree. The Lord has done an amazing thing. A lot of details took place to bring this about. It just goes to show, my friend, when we come back from our break, that God is a God of details.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God of care for every one of our lives. Sometimes we forget that. And then he reminds us again with stories, well, unique, like this one. When we come back, we'll find out more of the backstory of the Blackman family and God's grace on their lives. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life,
aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Holding on to hope. That's what the video is called. You can find it on YouTube. Holding on to hope, the Jake Blackman story. Jake Blackman, his mother, Lene Blackman, are in studio with us today. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. It's a blessing to be with you today. I encourage you to go ahead and check this out. And if you've tuned in just now, maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, you can get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Lene, you're flying to Reno, Nevada, flying to Lake Tahoe. You see that God has opened the door for you to get on the flight. You get there to the hospital. What do you see when you look at Jake?
Jake looked very peaceful. He was hooked up to every machine in the room. He had two stands full of medicine drips going into him and all kinds of wires, and he was on a ventilator. But despite all that, he looked peaceful, like he was just asleep. He didn't look like he had been, you know, banged up or gone through anything traumatic. So looking at him as peaceful as he was, I knew that his struggle was internally. You just couldn't see, and we didn't know how his organs were functioning. All that we had been told, basically, when the doctor did call, was that his organs basically were not functioning. His heart had stopped twice, and they had restarted it twice. He was on a ventilator. He wasn't breathing on his own. His liver was in shock, and his kidneys were in failure, and we had no idea of the status of his brain functioning. So the nurse was there, and she explained to me what everything on the monitor meant. And she had to explain it to me two or three times before I really knew what all those lines meant, so I could watch it and you know, understand what was going on.
When you began to let the news sink in, and there you're looking at Jake. What did the Lord do? How did he speak to you? Or did he speak to you during that time?
Well, I think the biggest thing that he did was just give me strength. And, you know, that was my prayer. I basically knew that Jake had three different outcomes. And the one was that he lived and we had the miracle that we have today. The other was that he would be in some sort of neurological impairment. I don't know what level of, you know, that would have been, or that he didn't make it through. And those were the three options that I was looking at, and I just prayed that the Lord would give me the strength to deal with whichever one of those we got. And he just, it was amazing that I didn't fall apart, and I knew that strength was coming from him. So the peace and the strength and comfort that he gave was what held both Keith and I up.
Neurological impairment, lack of oxygen. Jake was underwater for, do you know how long, Jake, you were underwater?
I was told that I was under for about 5 to 8 minutes.
And by the time they pulled you up, I recall they said you were like very dark purple, your whole body. And when they pulled you up onto shore, you know, people were around there. They didn't have much hope but to pray and to ask the Lord for mercy and His intervention. But you came through. You came through. Just describe what it was like, as best you can, your coming to. What were you hearing? Who did you see when you slowly came back?
Well, my first memory is kind of like a still image in my head, but it was my night nurse, Kyle, just at my bedside one night, and I think that was just as he was changing my sheets, my mom said I opened my eyes one night, and they asked if I could see them, and I nodded twice, and that was kind of the first sign that I was there, at least in some way. So I guess that kind of is my first memory, but after that, it's all kind of foggy as the sedatives and everything wore off gradually. I just kind of remember bits and pieces here and there. I just remember being very, very confused, just overall.
Lene, your spiritual background. I know you're working at a church now, Second Baptist Church there in Houston. But how did you become a Christian?
Well, I was raised Catholic, so born Catholic, you know, baptized as a baby, First Communion. In high school, I was supposed to go through confirmation, and my parents were divorced, and so around 7th or 8th grade, I started going to Baptist church with my dad, and that was the first time that I had heard the word personal relationship with Jesus, and I had no idea what that meant. So I was going to the Baptist church with my dad and then going to the Catholic church with my mom, and I was just seeing the differences in how they both worshiped God in different ways, and one was more personal. And so I wanted to find out more about that, and in the late 80s, early 90s, they would have revivals, and so I would go to the revivals and you know, feel Jesus working on my heart, but still wasn't ready to make that commitment. I didn't really know what that meant. So then I kind of struggled with that all through high school and college. I did not go through with the confirmation in the Catholic Church because I felt like it was conflicting with what I was learning in the Baptist Church, just about Jesus Christ. I mean, any denomination that is a Christ follower doesn't necessarily have to be Baptist. That was just my experience. And so then I got married, and, you know, I had wondered, am I a Christian, am I not, just based on experiences I'd gone through. But when we started struggling early in our marriage, like most, you know, young newlyweds will experience, that's when I knew that the only way I was going to be able to do this was with Christ. And that's when I just totally gave my life to Christ and said, I can't do this without you, and I need you to come into my heart and be with me. And so that's when it was. I was about 22, I guess. And so he's been here since then.
Oh, has this experience impacted your outlook on life?
Definitely.
Jake, how has this experience impacted your outlook on life?
Well, like before the accident, I didn't really have much motivation to do much of anything, really. I just kind of wasn't really happy overall, just really, I don't really know how else to describe it. I just wasn't too much of a happy person. But after the accident, I just kind of realized that, as cliche as it sounds, every day really is a gift, and we're not promised tomorrow, because life can be taken in an instant. Anything can be taken in an instant. And it also just, it brought me, it gave me this incredibly close feeling with God, like just knowing that he's there with me 24/7, even when I was kind of in a rough area before the accident. When that accident happened, and even before the accident happened, he was right there with me, bringing me through everything that came up and all of the medical issues that should have stopped my recovery from even happening at all. He was right there walking me through all of that, and it just, it's mind-blowing in a way. And it still sinks in a little bit every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of gives me this almost overwhelming feeling of gratefulness for him and love for him. And just, I don't know how to describe it sometimes. It's really incredible.
There were a lot of people praying for you. That's the other, one of the other things I saw, literally a prayer chain that just went worldwide. We'll talk more about that, the prayer support and the power of prayer in a moment of crisis. You're listening to Lene and Jake Blackman. You can watch an amazing video of it. I watched it. I couldn't stop. I couldn't turn away from it. I saw it all the way through. Holding On to Hope, that's the title of it, the Jake Blackman story. You can get that on YouTube. Again, Holding On to Hope on YouTube, the Jake Blackman story. We have Jake and his mother, Lene, with us today. They're in Houston. And of course, Suzanne is in Honolulu. I'm here in Boston. But we're together with you, my friend, our friend, to share this message, this story of the hope of Jesus in their life. And when we come back, prayer. Yeah, prayer. Did you know that when you pray, you open up the access portal, so to speak, for God to move in your life in ways that may not be happening right now? He may not be moving in that way, but because you pray, because you ask. And something happens when many people gather together to pray. And when it's an international prayer, a prayer movement that goes up, a resonance, a choir of prayer, interceding on behalf of someone, there's something very, very unique, special, and powerful that takes place. Do you pray? Do you pray for others? What's your prayer network like? When we come back, you'll hear more about prayer from the Black Men. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Yes, we talked about prayer. You know that prayer changes things? Prayer? Maybe it's not just what we do. No. It's who we call upon and what God does. And with God, all things are possible. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. And we're here with Jake and Lene Blackman talking about his incredible story of survival. Survival from staying underwater for 5 to 8 minutes and God saving his life. You can find out more about Jake and his story, Holding On to Hope, on YouTube, Holding On to Hope, the Jake Blackman story. Suzanne, prayer resonates with you, doesn't it?
Oh, it surely does. And the aspect of prayer in Jake's story for me was the program on the computer Caring Bridge. And Jake is a good friend of our grandson, Chris, and so we got word very quickly of the need for prayer. And then it came out on Caring Bridge, and literally tens of thousands of people were praying over the next few days. And it was especially important for our family because we had just lost a friend, Scott, 1 week before in almost the exact same place at Lake Tahoe. And tragically, Scott didn't survive and left a wife and two children. So we were in the process of grieving Scott's death when we got word of the need to pray for Jake. So it made it honestly very challenging, and but we just got going. And I don't think we've talked about Roxanne's prayer on the beach. And Lene, perhaps you or Jake can tell us about how she got things going.
Of course. Roxanne is just an amazing woman of faith. Her joy for the Lord is just contagious. And she was in the boat. She's Rob's mom. Rob was Jake's friend. And when she realized that she didn't see Jake, the first person that she called out to help was Jesus. And so she just immediately that prayed, you know, Jesus, help Jake. And, you know, I just believe that the gates of heaven opened and stood at attention and just lined people up right from there. Like, Jake was a baton in a relay race, and he was just handed off from one person to the next to get him to shore, to get him to the hospital. But her boat did get to shore at some point, and she got out, and other people came to the boat to pray with her because they remember they thought it was Jake's mother that was hollering out for prayer. And so they joined her and just had a circle of prayer right there on the beach while the lifeguards were trying to save Jake's life. Mm-hmm. So that's basically how it looks.
And that prayer just continued and expanded for days and days and days to come.
Yes, it sure did. And still, people still pray for him.
Mm-hmm. So Caring Bridge is something that I hope our listeners are aware of, and it's done through the internet, I believe is the way you would say it. But tell a little bit about how that was helpful to you, Lene.
Well, it's caringbridge.org, and it is a website that people use to keep family members updated on a loved one's situation, mostly health-related stuff, but you can send out a link and people can log on and read your updates so that you're not having to let each person know individually. And it's where I would go to post his updates and prayer requests and praises. And then people would get a notification that I had posted, and so they could go read, and they could comment that they were praying, or comment that they were amazed by, you know, God's answered prayers. And so that was an outlet for me in two ways. In one, to just get information out there, and then another was just a way for me to process all the information that the doctors were throwing at me and how I felt about that. It was a way for me to just get it out of my head so it didn't just keep rolling around in my head. And it was something to occupy my thoughts and my time as I waited for him, waited on the Lord and waited for Jake to recover.
And in the end, didn't you get a book that included the prayers of others during this time?
Yes. A sweet friend from work printed out all my journal entries and then everybody's comments that included a lot of prayers in their comments so that I could have a physical copy of that. And so that's pretty special. And I look back at that sometimes. It's pretty powerful.
I'll bet you do too, don't you, Jake? I mean, isn't that quite amazing?
Man, it never really gets older. It hasn't sunk in completely still how many people people were praying for me. It's crazy.
Jake, why do you believe God saved you?
I guess to really share this story, because if you kind of look at how I was living before the accident, not a lot of people would think that that was somebody that God was going to, I mean, not that he just won't save anybody that's lost, but it seems like there would be better people to be chosen, but he saved me from these incredible circumstances and brought me back fully and completely, and I believe that was so that I could tell others about how he did that and just the power and grace that he showed through my accident. Because really, medically speaking, I shouldn't be talking to you guys right now. I shouldn't be here at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, there are many today that still believe that miracles were only in Christ's time. And what an encouraging, powerful story, Jake, that you have to share, that God is in the miracle business to this very day.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What would you say to someone who is feeling hopeless, feeling like they're in an impossible situation? I'd like for both of you to share a word on this. Jake, what would you say to someone?
I would say you can feel hopeless, but to God, you're never hopeless. You can never be completely lost. You can wander off as far as you want to, but he's still, as far as you think you are, he's still going to be right there next to you, just ready for you to turn around and just come back into his arms. He's always there for anybody, no matter the circumstances.
Jake, I appreciate you as you shared that. When we come back from our break, Lene, I'd like for you to take a moment, answer that question. Someone who might feel an impossible situation. And the reason I ask that is because someone today may feel that way. You know, they've tried every avenue possible, so they think, and they have not experienced a change. They have not experienced any movement in the direction that they're hoping. So when we come back from our break, Lene, what would you say to someone who is in a hopeless situation? I guess the reason we talk about hopelessness is not to bring you down, but to lift you up. Because there is really in Christ, the resurrected Lord, the God of new beginnings, there really is no hopeless point. Hopeless only leads to hope in the Lord Jesus. The Blackmans will share about that when we come back.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Yeah, the old impossible situation. But in Christ, there is no impossible situation. There is always hope in the Lord, because He is indeed the God of the resurrection. He makes all things new, and even a tough situation can be changed. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. And you can hear and watch this video. It's entitled Holding On to Hope, the Jake Blackman story. Can hear it on YouTube. I encourage you to watch it and share it. And you can get this free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. I encourage you, as well as I typically do, to share it with a family member or friend. And if this program has ministered to you, as you've heard the story of Jake and Lene, and it's touched your heart, and you realize that through A Slice of the Good Life, our programs have a national and international reach beyond just our website presence, but heard across the country, I encourage you to pray about becoming a financial sponsor of our program. You can do that at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Lene, share with us what you would say to someone who feels like they're in a very tight situation.
I would just say that to never give up praying, that prayer is, it may not be answered, or you may not see it answered for years, but you may see it answered more sooner, like we did with Jake. You know, I've had other things that I've had to pray for years, and that, you know, 20 years later, I see the answer, and I see how God's been working all along, and just never give up. I know that, you know, one struggle that I had that's not on the video was that I had Jake really young, and I was 17, and as a young mother, you know, I would pray, Lord, let me be a mother that he deserves, and let me be a good enough mother, and I seriously doubted that as being as young as I was. And then as he was recovering in the hospital, one of the sheriffs there was standing next to me and told me I was a good mom. Mm. That was pretty powerful, because that was answered prayer that took, you know, 19 years in the making. And it was something, you know, tragic that, you know, God just put there right for me to, you know, give me hope at that time. I would also say to look for God in the details and not chalk things up to coincidence, because if you let yourself see that it's God, that will give you comfort knowing that he's here, and that would give you hope. And also, I would read the Psalms, because that was what I went to when I got to the hospital. My stepmom went and bought me a Bible, and I just opened it to Psalms, and I just said, Lord, just show me something. And he did, and it said, Lord, I make haste to you, I cry out to you. And it was Psalms 141, 1 and 2. And then I just started from the beginning and just started reading a chapter of Psalms every day. And there's so many instances where, you know, you cry out to the Lord and he hears. And that is just something that is also very encouraging, and I would recommend that.
How about Keith? How did all this affect him?
Well, Keith was pretty shaken up, you know, at the beginning, and when we got to the hospital, it really impacted him. But the Lord also gave him strength to keep going, and to really be the rock that our family needed. You know, we had two other kids that were at home, and just making sure that they had everything they needed too, so that I didn't even have to worry about that. And we had great family here taking care of them. And then Keith was just really very supportive of me and, you know, taking care of me so that I could be there for Jake. And, you know, it's still amazing to him as well what God brought our family through and how he healed Jake. So it's powerful for all of us.
Did you have to go through any kind of therapy in your recovery?
Are you talking to Jake?
Yes.
Yes, I went through about 1 week of inpatient therapy at TEER, is the rehabilitation branch of Memorial Hermann here in Houston. And then after I was released from inpatient therapy, I went through a few more months of mainly just speech therapy.
Yeah, occupational and speech therapy, which was really him learning how to get his thoughts out and be sure that he could organize his thoughts and more executive functioning type things.
Well, you are communicating quite well, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
The message of hope is coming through. And I want to encourage you to share your story as every opportunity God opens up for you will be an opportunity to share the hope that is in Christ. Jake, any parting word for someone today who may be recovering, maybe they're frustrated? You ever get frustrated in times in your recovery process? Do you ever go through some of that?
Oh, yeah. I started out frustrated. I got frustrated many, many times, just kind of asking why that happened to me. Because I had been working out all summer. I was in the best shape I'd ever been in my entire life. And then I just woke up in a hospital and all of that was gone. Everything was gone. And I was going to be out of school and work for, I didn't even know how long. I got very frustrated sometimes, but I was also just so grateful to still even be here. I guess one thing I would say would just, as simple as it is, just don't give up. Don't give up on God, because he's not going to give up on you.
Jake, would you lead in a prayer for a friend who's listening to us right now, who's gone through quite an ordeal, and they're trying to put the pieces back together. And yes, they're glad that they're still here. At the same time, they're frustrated because things don't move like they used to before, and so much has changed. You know what that's like. Could you lead in a prayer for that dear friend of ours?
Absolutely. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this show. And please just be with anybody that may be listening. Let them know that you were there with them just as you were with me in the lake, all through my recovery. Please just open any doors that they may need opened. Show them the path that they may need to take. Give them the push that they may need to go in the direction towards you and the direction towards recovery. And even if things may not begin immediately, just give them the strength to just hold on. Give them faith. Just be there, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Jake, Lene, thank you. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for sharing from your heart as you have.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Dear one, I hope that you've been touched, even as Suzanne and I have, by the story of Lene and Jake Blackman. Again, you can find out more. The video is called Holding On to Hope on YouTube. You know, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you, like Jake and Lene have today. And if you haven't done so, dear one, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. If that's you, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Partners. Psalm 5:11 says, "But let all who take refuge in you, let them sing joyful praises forever." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Lene and Jake Blackman. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.